Welcome back. Sarah and I today are going to talk about Christ, our King, the subtitle being Conquest, Liberation, and Restoration. There are different types of governments, and I went to the reference that lists all the different types of governments. And I'll put a little link in. It was very, very interesting. And here in America, most of us are familiar with, is considered a representative democracy with elected officials. The government of the United States of America is considered a constitutional federal republic. We have a constitution, we have a federation of states. It's a republic, not a straight democracy with the majority vote. It has some functions of a democracy in that the majority of people can vote for particular leaders, but it also has aspects of a republic as well, so that we vote for the leaders and then the leaders will vote on different topics and not all policies set out of the most populous and numerous states, because we have Senate and Congress, that sort of thing. However, for centuries, and perhaps up and before this great experiment that we're all living through at the moment, royalty was how a goodly number of people themselves, and that royalty would express itself in different ways. You could have a parliament, but I think parliamentary politics really kind of came in with after the revolution. If I'm wrong on that, I'll stand corrected. But
it came in with the Magna Carta in 1215.
It did, but I would want to think about, is that really like the nobles putting a check on the king? And so, and the nobles are landed with a hierarchy, so a little bit more like an oligarchy as opposed to a parliamentary procedure, which tends to have a vote from the people at large. So, but that's where I think you get those list of about 160 different types of governments, because you can get into that type of a nuance. So the point here being is that royalty is really the norm for the vast majority of time that we have been on the earth. And what we, modern man, tends to know of the of royalty comes mostly from tabloids and the escapades that go on in England. And for the most part, that's really where most people do. What's going on with Diana and Charles and in that lot. And yet within that fascination of the human mind, I think bespeaks a truth that somewhere in our interiority, we long for a king, and not just any kind of a king. We long for a righteous king. And I think interesting insight into that type of psyche is the portrait of Charles V, King of Spain, shortly before the beginning of the Enlightenment, the 1500s, and how. So the artist is rendering what a ruler looks like. He's noble, he's on a steed, a horse of war. He's rigid, he's got a steely eye. He's defending his people in battle. And if you watch how a man is depicted pretty soon after that with the Enlightenment, it's going to become one of delicate hands, a man with delicate hands and softness and roundness and a lot of lace, a very different idea of what it is to be a leader of a people than that portrait. And I'll have a picture up of it for them. So then this, my proposal to us is that we have an interior longing for a righteous king, Where do we go to get that? What does that look like? What should some of the characteristics we should expect to see? And what does that do for us here and now, today, in 2020?
Yeah, I think that it is very hard for most Americans to understand the Feast of Christ the King, you know, because it is one of those things that we have no experiential knowledge of per se, and most Americans, especially having grown up in the John Deweyite form of our education, that experience is knowledge, right? That is one of the reasons why we are kind of at a loss, even though each year we're more or less confronted with this as the culmination of our church calendar, right? That the final feast day of our year before we move into Advent is that glorious feast of Christ the King. So each year we celebrate it, but without any real ability to internalize it. And I think that that's been a great loss for us in America. I think that our fellow Catholics in other countries, maybe who do have a little bit more of an understanding of the role of the royalty in their lives or in their histories, can understand. I mean, obviously within Christ the King, in the church, this is a 100% good. Whereas, you know, in Europe and whatnot, they have to separate the good from the bad, but at least they do have some historical memory of it.
Yes. Yes. So when we stop there, and we will pick up with sacred scripture, the sure norm for all things. Till the next time, my friends, fides ad ratio.